What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Tomatodito Boxing Show. And a controversial one, another controversial one this weekend, even by way of commentary and so forth. And let's jump right in. Natasha Jonas, Michaela Mayer, out in Liverpool. They fought for Natasha Jonas's IBF welterweight title. A lot to talk about in this surrounding this fight and the build-up to this fight and about the fight. Because once again, controversy arose after the decision was rendered. The fight went all the way. And of course, how do we get to this fight? Natasha Jonas was the defending champion of this IBF title. As you recall, those of you that follow women's champions and women's boxing, Jessica McCaskill was the undisputed champion of the welterweight division for women, for the 147-pound division, had all the titles. When she lifted them from Cecilia Brockes and defended them in succession. Since then, her inactivity forced the hand of the IBF, and we all know how the sanctioning bodies work, right? A lot of us criticize the sanctioning bodies where they're more generous with some fighters than with others. They're quick to strip some fighters than others. And this was the case that the IBF wanted their title in full rotation. They stripped Jessica McCaskill of the title, made it vacant. And the two women that fought for that title were one of McCaskill's former opponents in Candy Wyatt, and that was last July of 2023, and the other being Natasha Jonas. So July of 23, the IBF title becomes vacant and is at stake between the Jonas-Wyatt fight. Natasha Jonas went on to garner the victory to stop Candy Wyatt in the eighth round and become champion at 147 pounds, winning the IBF welterweight title. To date, Jessica McCaskill has all the other titles, including the IBO, which we've been talking about a lot about in the past few episodes. The IBO title, which is a lesser known title and the lesser known sanctioning body. Many consider it the fifth most important sanctioning body next to the four major ones. And the IBO title has been around the waist of many important fighters and names of note in the past, both in men's and women's boxing. So Natasha Jonas, this was going to be her first defense, the first defense of her title, and it was going to be against none other than American fighter Michaela Mayer. Michaela Mayer was a unified champ at 130 pounds. She was involved in that big unification fight against Alicia Baumgartner, where she came up short on the judges' scorecards. Another tight fight that a lot of people thought Michaela Mayer won, but you could definitely make the case for Baumgartner because it was that type of phone booth style type of fight. It was that close of a fight where you could have gone either way and the argument could be made for either woman. In the end, Baumgartner was named the champion and she walked away as the undisputed champ, became the undisputed champ at 130 pounds. Michaela Mayer was inactive since then and moved up. Well, I'm lying. She did have two fights between Baumgartner, and that's when she was testing her weight. She thought she was going to be campaigning at 135, just one division north. Since she couldn't unify 130, she made her chance at moving up, and so she campaigned in the divisions north, two divisions north of her. She campaigned at 135 when she fought Lucy Wildheart, hoping that that victory would get her a fight or in line with potentially Katie Taylor. She won the WBC interim title by defeating Lucy Wildheart. That was in April of last year. From there, she ended up going to 140 pounds, and she beat Sylvia Bortat. And she continued upwards. She didn't stay at 135. She didn't stay at 140, being that Katie Taylor was tied up challenging Chantel Cameron for all her titles. More than likely, Mayer was going to remain inactive, moved up to 140, hoping that she could get a shot at Chantel Cameron, and then the rematch was made because of those two amazing fights that those two women had. So she continued moving north, went up to welterweight, and this was her debut at welterweight. Michaela Mayer looked amazing yesterday. Natasha Jonas was the same Natasha Jonas, the same 1-2 punch that we come to expect from Natasha Jonas. Very consistent, very composed, doesn't tend to panic. Started really fast yesterday, definitely in the first two rounds. And obviously, you got to keep in mind that these are 10-round fights, two-minute rounds, 10-round championship fights. Natasha Jonas started fast, and I think the first two rounds were definitely given to her, and rightfully so. By the third round, Natasha Jonas continued putting the pressure on Mayer, but Michaela just started, she closed out that round very well and started coming on strong. By the fourth round, Michaela started laying some power punches on Natasha Jonas, and it was very evident that her power had accompanied her. The same power that she possessed at 130 in the lighter divisions had accompanied her all the way up to welterweight. She has pop. And she was hurting Natasha Jonas. It was a very good back and forth fight. Both of them had really good moments. And I think that's the story to walk away from with this fight, is that Natasha Jonas had moments, while Michaela Mayer ran away with the fight, in my opinion. She made the fight. She took the fight to Jonas. She put the pressure on. She did get hit. She did get hit. And got hit quite a bit. But I really feel that the more damaging punches and the more effective punches and cleaner work was done on behalf of Michaela Mayer. I really feel that she was the accumulation of punches that she was hitting Natasha Jonas down the stretch of the fight. By the 9th and 10th round, Jonas was hurt. And a lot of those closing moments, both in the 9th and 10th, you saw Jonas just lunging forward for the clinch to catch her breath and save herself from going down, because Michaela Mayer was coming on strong, especially in the 10th round. Al Mitchell in the corner tells Michaela Mayer, you gotta go leave it all out there. You gotta close this fight. And she did. And it was exciting. The people were on their feet. The commentators were going crazy. And you felt the urgency that Michaela Mayer was fighting with in the 10th round, especially. If it was a you pick 'em type of fight, up to the 10th, Michaela Mayer, in my opinion, did enough to have walked away with the fight just based on the 10th round. If by chance that's how we were seeing it, I ended up scoring it 7-3 for Michaela Mayer. Many gave it 6-4 from the comments that I saw on social media. But if we look at the judges' scorecards, we weren't too far off. The judge that gave it for Michaela Mayer gave her a 97-93 score, similar to what I had scored. The other two judges gave Natasha Jonas a 96-95 and a 96-94. So one judge gave her a one-round swing for Natasha. It was that type of a fight, that tight of a fight for that judge. Understandably so. I could respect that. The 96-94, I could respect that as well. It was a tight fight. However, I really feel that the 96-94, the two-round swing, should have been scored the other way, with the opening rounds being Natasha Jonas's rounds. Those would have been the two rounds that she would have gotten. Other than that, I see Michaela Mayer having outworked, outpunched, outlanded Natasha Jonas. I feel like those scores should have been the other way. The 97-93, how I scored it, maybe I had it wrong. Maybe I didn't. But I really feel that it was a 7-3 fight. And I acknowledge those opening rounds to Natasha Jonas. But from there, I saw some really good work from Michaela Mayer, some really consistent work, and she was putting on the pressure. She was outlanding, outpunching, outsmarting Natasha Jonas, where she offered a variety of an attack, a varied attack, versus Natasha Jonas sticking to her 1-2 from the opening bell on to the end. She would do her 1-2 as an initiation attack, or she would do a 1-2 as a counter. And that was it. Aside from that, she would clinch. And early on in the first round, you got to give her credit. Natasha Jonas started heavy to the body, to Michaela Mayer's body. And we saw that very far in between throughout the fight. She had some moments, like I said. Now, don't discredit Natasha Jonas. She had some moments. But overall, I think the large scale of work was put on by Michaela Mayer. So was it a robbery? I mean, you heard the commentators, even the British commentators, stating that before they rendered a decision, they're like, Michaela Mayer walked away with this. Michaela Mayer did enough to have won this. And it was numerous commentators that ended up mentioning this. Social media basically had it for Michaela Mayer as well. And when the cards were read, well, split decision for Natasha Jonas, and she came up on the short end of the stick again. This is the second loss of Michaela Mayer's career. The first one, of course, to Alicia Baumgartner. She sits now at 19-2, 5 knockouts. She has good pop. But for some reason, she just hasn't gotten to that point where she's able to stop her opponents. She hurts them. She gets them hurt to a point where it looks like she would be able to stop them, but for one reason or another, she lets them off the hook, or she doesn't capitalize on it at the beginning of the next rounds, because usually she ends up putting on her best work from the middle of the round to the end of the round. And remember, these are 2-minute rounds. So by the 1 minute to a minute 30, she starts coming on strong. By the last 30 seconds, she inflicts damage. The round ends. The next round starts, and she doesn't capitalize on it. She starts another boxing match, letting the opponent recoup. And then towards the end, towards the closing moments of the round, she comes on again, rather than having capitalized and going in with that killer instinct. It's really good to see, really refreshing to see that Michaela Mayer moved up that many divisions, 3 divisions north, and that she looks this good. And for Natasha Jonas, well, post-fight, she ended up mentioning that this is going to be the final year of her career. She's planning on retiring at the close of this calendar year. Was it a gift? Maybe. Was it warranted? Maybe. You could make the argument for it. Now, who knows what the judges are seeing? Remember that the judges are positioned on different sides of the ring. And you guys hear me. If anybody's a big critic of robberies, it's me. It's on this show that you get to hear those when I completely lose my mind over incompetence on behalf of the judges, where they render these landslide fights where you're like, what were you watching? These cards were not completely ridiculous, because it was 1 or 2 rounds that ended up swinging it in the way of Natasha Jonas. Something that bothered me from the commentary, there was a British commentator that stated, and I don't recall his name, I'm sorry, but he made the comment where he said, hey, it happens, it's boxing. And that sucks. When you start saying, hey, it's boxing, it's a tainted sport. Yes, we know, we've talked about this before. Yes, there is a lot of flaws within the sport of boxing, but that's a cop-out to just say, hey, it happens, oh well. Because there's a lot of bias implied in there. You go into this with some biases or predetermined results, which is the ugly side that we don't want to see, that we want to get rid of from the sport, especially when they're big fights. And if this happens in that broad of a spectrum, in that broad of a scope, in a big mega fight, or a big title fight like this was, not a mega event, but definitely a big notorious title fight, imagine what's happening when the fighters are up and coming. And there's a promoter already involved in these small cards and the small venues, small towns. And you start getting the presence of a promoter or a bigger name backing one or two fighters in that card. And everybody else is unsigned, free agents, lesser known, up and coming. The weight is being thrown around without much notice. So if we're able to see it take place in such big events like this, imagine what's going on in the smaller circles. So that's the ugly side, and I didn't like that comment at all. The other thing was that same commentator followed that phrase or that sentence by saying, if this fight would have taken place stateside, then more than likely these scores would have been read for Michaela Mayer. Wow. Hometown cooking. Is that what we're saying? The unfortunate truth is that he may very well be right by what he said. Natasha Jonas is going to get the Cinderella story closing, especially announcing that this is her final year, a big event put on by boxer Ben Shalom and his promotional company. A fight where Natasha Jonas had in her contract a rematch clause, whereas Michaela Mayer was not authorized one. And she went through with the fight. She did call for the rematch. But it's that fire in her that where she called for the rematch with Baumgartner, but that never came to fruition either. Nonetheless, both women were very gracious in their post-fight commentary. And it's very admirable that they carry themselves in that fashion. Congratulations to Natasha Jonas, who successfully defended her title. And she moves on to bigger and better things. It looks like she may be looking for maybe a match with Jessica McCaskill, if and whenever she comes back. Because that would mean it would be for all the titles. I don't think there'll be a rematch between her and Michaela Mayer unless there's no other options of a bigger fight for Natasha Jonas, then this fight will be revisited. And it was a fun one. It was a fun one. It was very entertaining, very well, very, very competitive, very well matched. In a scenario where women's boxing as a whole adopts the 12-round championship round title match format at 3 minutes per round, Michaela Mayer would potentially have stopped Natasha Jonas last night. Amanda Serrano is the only one doing it. To her credit, remember she relinquished the title recently to be able to debut and fight in a 12-round, three-minute per round, 12-round championship fight. She relinquished the title because the sanctioning body would not back her. I believe it was the WBC. And she doesn't care. She relinquished it and she's going to proceed in her next fight, in her upcoming fight. She's again doing a 12-round fight at 3 minutes per round. Very interesting. And that's one of the flaws of women's boxing that I feel they should adopt that format. Give them the 3 minutes. There's nothing saying, even though the commissions are stating that it would be dangerous for them, women's boxing has evolved so much from the days where they rendered those decisions in the early and mid-90s that you gotta give them credit. UFC, they're sanctioning, not the UFC, but the states where the UFC goes to and the sanctioning bodies, the commissions that the UFC is dealing with, they're sanctioning 3 minute round fights for the women, whether it be a standard 3 minute or 3 round fight or a 5 round championship fight for them. And I'm sorry, I'll correct myself. They do 5-minute rounds. Remember that if I am correct, they do 3 5-minute rounds or 5 3-minute rounds in the UFC. And those same commissions are sanctioning that for the UFC and for MMA, but they're not willing to give any leeway to boxing. The layout, the landscape of women's boxing would change completely just by adding that extra minute and those extra 2 rounds. You're going to have more fights that are not going to be reaching decision. And these big fights are going to completely change the output and the approach by these boxers. The strategy is going to change completely, just like the most recent big mega event between Chantel Cameron and Katie Taylor. It sucks to say that there was a little bit of hometown cooking. It sucks to say that there was another bad decision rendered. I don't want to take it on that negative route. We got to congratulate Natasha Jonas because she was a live dog in there. The truth of the matter is that us as a fans, what we see, and especially if you're tuning in, watching the fight, doing your best to score the fight, and you still feel like your decision went one way versus what they render. And when they render the decision, it happens to be completely opposite or completely off of what you saw, what you witnessed. Well, your eyes don't lie. You know what you saw. As uneducated as a boxing fan may be, if they see it one way, it'll drive them to understand the sport and educate themselves a little more to understand why the fight went a certain way. This goes back to like the Francis Ngannou Tyson Fury, that point that I'm making where people said that Ngannou beat him because he dropped him. Well, that's completely uneducated, right? Because the scoring ended up going by Tyson Fury, and that's how he pulled out the fight, by scoring, by the scorecards. In essence, Ngannou lost a decision, did not get his hand around the title in boxing in his debut, but he won the popular vote. He won the crowd over, and now look at him. He's 0-1 getting himself into a big fight against Anthony Joshua, which that's going to happen in the coming months. That's crazy. That's unheard of. So he won in the end, even though he lost the decision. So uneducated fans will call for that and they'll just go for the popular fighter. Now, decisions like this, when they're so tight and they're lesser known fighters, it'll drive a lot of casuals and a lot of uneducated fans or first time fans to educate themselves a little further and understand why it should have gone this way, the meaning behind output and the work, the overall work that one fighter is doing versus the other. And you understand that a little bit better, and then they start making more educated decisions, more educated judging, per se. But those of us that follow the sport and have a bit of exposure to the sport, like most of you that are listening to me, we know what we saw. And I'm interested to hear from you guys as to what you thought. If you thought Michaela won this fight, or if you thought that Natasha Jonas walked away with this. The decision is Natasha Jonas retains her title, successfully defends her belt, and you got to congratulate her. And for Michaela Mayer, it sucks that she got this decision rendered, because a lot of us saw that she won. But I don't want to take the route of the robbery on this one. What bothers me is the comment that was made about, hey, if this would have taken place stateside, then she would have gotten the decision. And that notion that exists, it's real. We can't ignore it. But it's one of the ugly sides of the sport. And maybe it's something that we've just become accustomed to, wrongfully so, that needs to change. With that said, it was as competitive of a fight. If they sign a rematch, I will definitely tune in to watch it. Hands down. It was that fun. It was an entertaining fight. It was a competitive fight. And I don't think we'll see a rematch on this one, but I think Michaela Mayer is going to have a title around her waist probably by the end of this calendar year, if not sooner, because she's good. And she has transitioned her power, her speed, her size, her style is transitioning very well each division that she campaigns at. She was awesome at 130 and looked good at 135, 140, and now in her debut as a welterweight. So I'm excited to see what comes forward for these two women. For Natasha Jonas, this is a closing year of her career, so let's see what other big fights she could get into and how her career comes to a close this year. So that'll be very interesting. Maybe she'll walk away as a champion. Maybe she will lose in her very next defense, and then and which will completely derail her plans as to how she sees her career coming to a close. Nonetheless, she has a great body of work, great resume, has a loss to Katie Taylor as well, but has challenged everybody and anybody who's a name in women's boxing, including she was on the other end, on the Michaela Mayer end of a decision against Terry Harper, although it ended up being a draw, not a loss on her record. But a lot of people thought that Natasha Jonas beat Terry Harper in that fight, where she would have lifted those titles from Terry Harper, that fight being at 130, of course, several years back. So she's been on that other end of those decisions as well. And well, we move on to another bigger and better boxing day, but this was it from Liverpool. Great night of boxing, great main event. And it's good to see that women's boxing continues to impress and is off to a good start this calendar year in 2024. With that said, I leave you all. Have yourselves a great night. And thank you again for tuning in to the Tomatoito Boxing Show. Check me out on Instagram. As soon as you see the post go up, you know that if you're listening to this episode, you already know that the post is up corresponding to this episode on Instagram. And that's where you communicate with me. Leave me a comment. I want to hear from you. Take care of yourselves. Have yourselves a great night. Stay safe.